greet you all in the name of Jesus. And happy Father's Day for everyone. In the weekdays, I met one of my friends. He's a friend from the Greece. So we were talking, and then he asked me, "What's your name?" And I said, "My name is Sammy Kabyemera." He said, "What?" I said, "Kabyemera." I said, "Oh, wow, this is in Greek. It means someday or one day." I said, "You serious?" He said, "Yeah, Kabyemera. Kabyemera means someday or one day." I said, "Ooh, my name is in Greek." So I said, "Can you check my wife's name too? Her last name is Temanya." She said, no idea." It's funny that the languages have that kind of thing. You can hear someone's name in different meaning, like Vicky in my language means, "What is that?" Vicky, what is that? In my language. And Duncan means, take it easy. That's Duncan. So it's fun that our name have different meaning in different languages. I came to find out in the Bible the name Absalom. Absalom means the father of peace. Absalom means the father of peace. Now, the really problem here is, though our names sound good or they have a really powerful meaning, but what exactly our life look like or what we do is totally different or opposing the meaning of our names. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful time that we are here in your house. We thank you that it's a wonderful day, a Sunday, and we're here to hear your word. Oh, Lord, I'm standing before your people. Ask you to lead me and with your Holy Spirit and convey your message to every one of us. Bless this time in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We are going to read in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. And I'm going to be jumping over some verses because it's a long chapter. But I'm talking about the Father's love. The Father's love, that's my topic. The Father's love. And we are in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 18. And I want to read from verse 1. And I'll be jumping other verses, as I said. I read in the name of Jesus. David mustered the men who were with him and appointed over them commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. David sent the troops out, a third under the command of Joab, a third under Joab's brother Abishai, son of Zeruiah, and a third under Ittai, the Gittite. The king told the troops, "I myself will surely march out with you." But the man said, "You must not go. If we are forced to flee, they won't care about us. Even if half of us die, they won't care. But you are worth 10,000 of us. It will be better now for you to give us support from the city." The king answered, "I will do whatever seems best to you." So the king stood beside the gate while all men marched out in units of hundreds and of thousands. The king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, "Be gentle with the young man Absalom for my sake." All the troops heard the king giving orders concerning Absalom to each of the commanders. We are jumping to verse 9 again. Now Absalom happened to meet David's men. He was riding his mule, and as the mule went under the thick branches of a large oak, Absalom's head got caught in the tree. He was left hanging in midair while the mule he was riding kept on going. When one of the men saw this, he told Joab, "I just saw Absalom hanging in an oak tree." Joab said to the man who had told him, "What? You saw him? Why didn't you strike him to the ground right there? Then I'll have to go I would have to give you 10 shekels of silver and a warrior's belt. But the man replied, even if 1,000 shekels were weighed out in my sand shekels were hands, I would not lift my hand against the king's son. In our hearing, the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, protect the young man Absalom for my sake. I'm going to jump again to verse 19. Now Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, said to, let me run and take the news to the king that the Lord has delivered him from the hand of his enemy. You are not the one to take the news today, Joab told him. You may take the news at a time, but you must not do so today because the king's son is dead. And let's go down here to verse 29. Then king asked, is the young man Absalom safe? Ahimaaz answered, I saw great confusion just as Joab was about to send the king's servant and me, your servant, but I don't know what it was. The king said, stand aside and wait here. So he stepped aside and stood there. Then the Cushite arrived and said, my lord, the king, hear the good news. The Lord has delivered you today from all who rose against you. The king asked the Cushite, is the young man Absalom safe? The Cushite replied, may the enemies of my lord, the king, and all who rise up to harm you be like the young man. The king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and wept. As he went, he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. Yeah, we are talking about the topic which says the father's love. And when we talk about the father's love, this is a Father's Day. We think about what should be a heart of a parent. What should be the heart of a father toward his kid, toward his parent, towards his children. And this came to my mind as well as what exactly is a good age for someone to become a parent? What exactly is a good age for a young man or a man to be a parent, to have a child? Because if being a parent or being a father is also good and also requires to have a kind of good attitude, good heart, then when is the good age for someone to develop that qualification, that good heart to cherish or to welcome children and to look after the children? Of course, there is no age. And if we go to the Bible, we find the role model, the good father, is God. Hallelujah. The only perfect good father is God. He is the only one who has all qualifications, all qualities, all good hearts, and he cares, and he can look after us, over all of us, equally. If we go to the Bible, we see their qualifications that God has, that we human beings don't have. Let's read in the book of Psalm 145 and verse 8. The Bible says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. God is the really father with really qualification, with really good heart. And the Bible says here, he is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. What kind of parent can you find? Where can you find a parent like that in this world who has all these four qualifications, all these four quality of parenthood? I can't claim I have that all quality, gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. I know sometimes I just lose my temper and I become angry to my children, and sometimes I don't control it because I'm a human being. But God, the Bible says, he's gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love, the Father's love. If you go again in the book, in the Bible, and we read here in Lamentations, look for what the Bible says, saying here, Lamentations chapter 3, the Bible says here in verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Here we find God is compassionate, God has great love, and God is faithful. Is there any parent who really qualifies this way, having graciousness, good heart, compassionate, and great love, and who can be who can have long suffering toward the children's challenges? But our Father God, he's compassionate, and the Bible says because of his great love, we are not consumed, which means only his compassions keep us alive. If it was not his compassion, we would not be alive. He's God who is special, he's different, he's our Father, and he's our God. And we can read also some passage here as a we can read also in the passage where we read before, and we find a story which was very touching. The Bible says here there was a civil warfare between Absalom, who was going to fight his father David. And this is terrible. This is hard to understand. This is very bad. Because when you read the Bible, you find that Absalom was the third boy among his son, among David's son, and his mother was Maacah. And that name, Absalom, as I said, it means father of peace. But what he's doing here in the passage of the Bible is totally the opposite of the meaning of his name. So the Bible says here, Absalom was plotting, and he wanted to fight against his father so that he could take over and rule. And this is a very tough situation for David, because David is now challenged. The kingdom of David is challenged, and his son himself wanna take over. And Absalom rebelled against his father, and if you read the Bible, you find he raped 10 of his father's wife. He raped them. He raped his father's concubines, his wives. And this is also the way you can see how it can make David very angry and very it could add more wrath to David so that he can fight against or revenge or kill Absalom. But when this happened, what did David say? David, when he prepared, he heard that there is a fighting, that Absalom is ready to come fighting him, fighting his people, and Absalom has his people also prepared, and David decided to go. He said, I want to go myself to see my son at the battlefield. I ask myself, why did David want to go himself? Because maybe, just maybe, he thought when he's there, his son will see him, and maybe he'll be afraid of continuing with the war. But David's people said, no, you are not going to go. Let us go handle this situation, unfortunately. But what did he say? David gave them a clear word. He said, you're going to fight, but remember this. Be gentle to the young man. Be gentle with this young man, Absalom, for my sake. It means you are going to fight. This is too much confusing here. You are going to fight, and who is the enemy? The enemy is Absalom. But I'm telling you, as you are going to fight, be gentle to this man. Now, what exactly does he mean? Who is here in rebellion? Who is the head of the rebellion? Who is rebel against David? That is Absalom. And one would just think that David would say, hey, you know what? Do quick and finish this fight, this battle. Finish with him and then come quickly. This is just my son. He can do nothing. But the heart of the father, the heart of compassion. Look what David is saying. He said, you know what? Be gentle to this young man. Be gentle to my son. Not because you ought to do so, but for my sake. Do me good. Don't kill him. Look after him. Father's love. Father's love. A father has in his heart the heart of compassion. That's what the Bible says here. Our God is compassionate. He has love, great love, and he's faithful. David felt this in his heart. And it's true. We were parents, we know that. Your child can mess up and do many bad things. Of course you'll correct him. Of course you'll correct her. But you will not wish your child to die. Never. You will not. You won't wish your child to die. Never. And I always tell people, you can't come and teach me to correct my child. You can't say come and fight him or beat him. No. He is in my heart. I feel him in my heart. That's what David is telling the soldier. You can go. You can do whatever you can go. But remember one thing. Do me a favor. Be gentle to the young man. So, one would ask question here. Why then would David, if David had this compassion and a spirit of pity and sorrow to his son, why then would he decide to go for war? Why didn't he say just, okay, let him take over, let him do everything he want to take. Coup d'etat, it's okay, but there is no need to go fight. But I find here, even though there is love, justice must be made. That the Bible says, when God chastises us, or when he punishes us, it's not because he hates us, but it's because of love. So he said, go fight, but be gentle to my son. Why? There will be war, but justice is made in compassion. Justice must be done. And this brings me exactly to our relationship to our Father God. God loves every one of us. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, this is what the Bible says. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavish on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friend, now we are children of God, and what will be has not yet been known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just he is. So we find here in 1 John, John is writing and saying that God has called us his children. He has made us his children through his son Jesus Christ. So if we are called children of God, then we have opportunity to enter the kingdom of God. So if they are called of God to enter the heaven, made our friend, we will be amazed. So if our friend know us, the way we live, the way we behave, the way our lifestyle look like, and then we call ourselves children of God, according to the passage here, I think our friend will be amazed. How come they are children of God? But God calls us his children through his son, Jesus Christ. And especially those who had you or saw you doing a bad thing, living bad life. And if you call yourself a child of God, I think they will be amazed, or maybe they will mock upon your faith. But the truth is, God still loves us. He loves us because he's God of compassion. He says that we are children of God. And we don't know how we will look that day. But one thing is true, that we'll be exact like him. And the key point here is, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. God is pure. God is just. God is holy. And he wants us to live that kind of life of purity, of holiness. That's why David decided to do what? To do war against his son, not in order to kill him, but to make justice, to correct him, to show him what is right. Unfortunately, it didn't work this way. And if you read the Bible, unfortunately, the boy hung himself up on the branches, and then he was killed by one of the soldiers or the men of David. So what is the lesson we learn here? God is God of love. He's God of compassion. He doesn't want us to get lost. The Bible says he loves so that no one gets lost. But unfortunately, we don't respond positively accordingly to his love. And that's when justice is to be made. And that's when justice is to be made. And sometime we're going to find ourselves, because of the justice of God, we're going to find ourselves away and cut away, as Absalom found himself dead, whereas his father did not want him to die. You read here in the same passage where we read before, the Bible says, when they brought the news to Absalom, we can see this spirit of compassion, this heart of sorrow. Then the king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and wept. And as he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, if only I had died. If only I had died on your behalf. If only I had died instead of you." Well, before that, he asked, when the messengers came with the message, he asked twice. He said, "Hey, is the young man safe? Is Absalom safe? Is Absalom safe? Is Absalom safe?" The question we ask today is, are we safe in our walk with God? Are we safe in our walk with the Lord Jesus? Are we safe? God wants us to be safe. But how can we be safe if we are not walking according to his will? If we are rebelling against him? If we are doing exactly the opposite thing that he doesn't want us to do? The Father's heart is a heart of compassion. He doesn't want no one to be perished, but all of us to be saved. But again, we have to look after how we are walking so that we don't cut ourselves away from the grace of God. David wept and he said, "Oh, my son, if only I had died instead of you." And we find here in the Bible, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, who came and died on our behalf. What is the compassion? What kind of love? He accepted everything on the cross. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 verse 8 that God demonstrated his love toward us when we were still in sin. Christ Jesus died for us. David could not die on behalf of his son, but God died for us. Jesus died on the cross for us. He paid everything. The love of our Father God. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. What a compassion, what a love, what a mercy. If you read in a Revelation chapter 3, this is what the Bible says here, and I like it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." What do we find here? God loves us the same way David loved his son Absalom. But the difference is there was no chance for Absalom to change. And he decided to fight against his father. But God loves us and he continues to ask us to change. The Bible says here, "To whom I love, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline." If God did not love us, if he did not love you, he would let us easily go into hell. But he loved us so much that he sent his son so that we may not be perishing and lost, but may have eternal life. Now, what is he doing? He says he rebukes us because he loves us. He shows us what is right to do so that because he loves us. Sometimes when we hear the word of God, I always tell people, when we hear the word of God and we hear that word about against our lifestyle, that God wants us to live the life that pleases him, we feel like we are offended in the church. We feel like we are not liked in the church. We feel like the men of God, pastors, are picking after our life or on us, and they don't love us. But let me tell you the truth. This is the really kind of love, the true love that the men of God are showing you by showing you the truth about what God wants upon our life. The Bible says, those whom I love, I rebuke. Talking about parents, my daughter left me when she turned 18. Grace, she left home and she went. And when she came back later, she told me, Dad, I wish I didn't leave. I said, why? I said, well, if I was with you, I would have finished my high school. I would have studied. I would have done this. Look, I didn't do nothing. I said, well, it's not late. You can still come back. The door is still open for you. I'm still your father. I was waiting for you to come back. You see, it's the same way God wants us to understand that his love is still there on us. He loves us no matter how far we went, no matter how messed up we are, but he still opened the door. That's why he's rebuking us. He wants us to come back. I told her, you know what? I love you. And the door is open anytime. Feel free. If you want to come back, why not? You were born here. This is your home. But unfortunately, sometimes people don't really make up their mind quickly. And sometimes it's late, as in the times of Noah. Noah opened the door so that people can come and escape the flood. For 7 days, the door was open, but no one came in. And when the door was closed, that's when they were knocking the door. Noah opened for us. That was late. Church, God loves us. And he loves us with a love of compassion. And he wants us not to miss heaven. The heaven was made for us, but the hell was made for Satan and his angels. The love of God is the love of God that compels Jesus to leave heaven and come here. And the love of God that compels the men of God to tell you that be reconciled with God because he loves us. Hallelujah. So, the love of God is the love of the Father, is a love which is full of compassion, full of mercy. Jesus died on the cross for us, and he wants us to make right with him by accepting him as our personal Savior and Lord and getting saved, because that's what Jesus wants for us. You might say here that, you know what, Pastor Sammy, you don't know my life. I've really messed up a lot. My life is terrible. I did terrible things. There's no way I can come back, and I don't believe in God can forgive me. Let us read this passage here in Psalm 103. Look for what the Bible is saying here. The Lord, verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not, listen to this, church, listen to this. He does not treat us as our sin deserve. Hallelujah. Or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. So God does not want to treat you, and he will not treat you according to your sin, according to your iniquities. But he is opening his hand to welcome you back and say, my son, I welcome you back. Remember the story of the prodigal son when he came back. He found his father outside opening his arm and saying, welcome back, welcome back. And the prodigal son wanted to make some excuses. He made some stories there and make some phrases and say, you know what? I do not deserve to be called even your child. Make me among one of your servant. But what did the father say? He said, no, forget that. Take the ring on yourself. Put good clothes. You are my son. You are my child. I was waiting for you. I could not sleep. I was waiting for you. Welcome back. The father's heart, the love of the father, full of compassion, full of grace, full of mercy. Will you let God waiting for you forever? The Bible says Jesus is standing at the door, knocking the door. Whoever opens the door, he will come and eat and have supper with him, dinner with him. What a joy when you give your life to Jesus. What a joy when you become a child of God. The Bible says we are children of God. Church, in this Father's Day, God is calling us back to check on our relationship with our Father. He's God of love. He's God of compassion. He's God of grace. He's God who can forgive our sins. He's God who can forgive and forget our sins. He's not angry at us, but he wants us to make things right. Unlike David, David went to fight and kill his son, but God is not going to kill you. God wants you to make things right. He's opening the door for you to come and reconcile with him. And if you do that, he will forgive you and he will accept. The Bible says, if we say we did not sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, our Father is faithful to forgive and cleanse us from all our iniquities. God is God of mercy, incomparable God, God that you cannot compare with other. He's the unique Father of love. This morning, this message is to me, this message is to you. God loves you as a father, and he is compassionate. He is full of love, and he wants you to come back. I don't know about your life. I just don't know. How is your life? How are you living your life with God? How are you walking with Jesus? How is your life? But let me tell you this. You may be battling against God like exactly Absalom was doing against his father. You are taking the way which is totally different position, different way against the way of God. You are doing exactly what God doesn't want you to do. You are doing exactly the rebellions. You are walking in the rebellion. You are doing a bad thing. You know the right thing to do, but you just turn your back and you are doing different things as that prodigal son did. He was after money. He was after fame. He was after being known and making friendship and become someone independent, free. Let me tell you the truth. There is no joy and peace in sin. There is no joy and peace in the world. There is no joy and peace in the things of the world. God wants us to make things right with him. He'll call you back. He says, come, my son, I'm waiting for you. Come, my daughter, I'm waiting for you. He knows your life. He knows every detail of your life. Even the thing you do in the darkness at night, he knows it. Nothing is hidden in eyes. But one thing is true. He's waiting for you. Don't be like Absalom, who ended up on the tree. Many people will end up in the hell, whereas God did not intend them to go there. But they make themselves available for Satan, and they go. Today, we see many things happening. People are living Christianity, and they're embracing gay life. They are living Christianity, they're embracing homosexuality. They are living Christianity, they are living in pornography and things like that, abortion. That is not what God called us to do. We are children of God. We are lucky to be children of God. We are fortunate to be called children of God. And you know what? When there is good news, there might also be bad news. What is the bad news? If we continue to rebel against God, unfortunately, it will be late and you'll find yourself one day in an eternal punishment, living away from the presence of your Father. That was not what God intended. His intention is that no one get lost, but we all come to life. God's love, the Father's heart, the heart of compassion, the heart of compassion. And he loves us all unconditionally. He loves us all without difference. We're going to pray. I want us to pray together. I want us to take this time and ponder about your life. Are you playing the same game like Absalom against his father? But remember, God loves you. He knows your life. And not only that, he's saying, I've been gentle to you. Satan wanted to finish your life. Satan wanted to kill you. Satan wanted to finish your life. But God is keeping you, looking after you. Maybe he's going to change. Maybe he will come back. maybe then, maybe. But today is the day God is calling us to make things right with God. Let's bow our head as we are praying. You may be here today. You've heard the word of God. And this is the love of God to you. This is the love of God to you, my brothers and sisters. This is how much he loves us. He demonstrates his love by sending his son Jesus, who died on the cross for us. And he doesn't want you to get lost. You may be here. You are living in a rebellious. You are living in a very tough kind of life. Messing up. Doing bad things. Going astray from the will of God. Today, God is calling you back. He's opening his hand. He's saying, come. Is there anyone here among us today who want to say, I'm here. I want Jesus to forgive me. I want Jesus to save my life. I'm sorry, Lord. I heard you. I want to make things right with you. Don't be afraid of anyone in this church. But remember, this is your time to make things right with God. In heaven, there is joy when you do that. God is happy. The angels are going to be in party for that. Is anyone here in this day who want to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Thank you. Anyone else? You're here. You want to say, God, I'm here. You know my life. I'm sorry. I don't want to go against your will. I want to make things right with you. Anyone? Lift your hand. Thank you, sister. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? You're here. You understand the word of God. The Lord has talked to you. You didn't know how much he cares about your life. But the truth is, he cares much so that he doesn't want you to go to hell. He cares much that he doesn't want you to get lost. He cares about your life. Anyone? I want to pray for you. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. Your love is unconditional. Your love is incomparable. Your love cannot be described. Your love is eternal. You are full of compassion. You are full of grace. I remember, Lord, where you met me, where you changed my life. If you could not change my life, I would have been dead and lost forever. But thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And today, behold my brothers and sisters here, oh Father. I commit them in your hands. They've heard your word. They've understood how much compassionate you are. How much love you have that we cannot even explain. No word can explain this word, this love, oh Lord. Father, I thank you for my brother and sister who they lifted their hand, the sign of showing publicly that they are sorry. Father, forgive them. Forgive even those who didn't show their hand, but in their heart they are touched and they want to make things right with you today. Lord, I pray that you give them strength and boldness to come out of this pit and to say, I'm here, Lord, help me. And I pray, Father, in your mercy and grace, that one day we will see you, as your words say. That one day we will see you face to face. That one day we will enter heaven. That one day we will celebrate in your kingdom. Bless this word and bless every one of us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Sammy. Do you think that we can watch it? Huh? We could try?